It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you very much for joining me. We've got a show this morning that I think you're going to find to be absolutely enlightening and also maybe humorous, and one that I'm happy to introduce all of you to. Jennifer Ackerman, who has written a book which is being released as we speak called The Genius of Birds. And we were able to finally catch up with Jennifer, and she's kind enough to take the time to be with us on the Great Outdoors Show. So we're all going to learn something this morning, and hopefully, Jennifer, at the end of the show, you've helped enlighten all of us about how you got into the business of writing about the genius of birds. You've written a number of books about birds and human behavior, and so you are an individual that we're delighted to have, and thank you for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
So Jennifer, let me start off by asking, the book that you just published, The Genius of Birds, the title in and of itself is intriguing because, as somebody said to me, we think of most people who we don't think are very smart, we call them bird brains. And yet you've written a book and spent quite a bit of time studying this that would maybe show quite to the contrary that birds, in fact, have brains.
Absolutely. So, you know, for a very long time, people thought that the behavior of birds was really just driven by instinct. And they had brains that were so small and so primitive that they were capable really of only the very simplest kind of mental processes. But scientists have discovered that birds are really much, much more intelligent than we ever imagined. You know, they're capable of problem solving. They have prodigious memories. They learn by example the way that children do, and they make, you know, very complex navigational decisions and can remember where they put things using intricate geometrical concepts. So they're all kinds of very intelligent behavior, and all with a packet of brains so tiny it would fit inside a walnut.
So I guess to start off with, how did you become interested in this subject?
Well, I've been a bird watcher most of my life. I went bird watching with my father when I was a child. And, you know, I guess I've always thought birds were very resourceful. But then I began to hear these reports surfacing about birds solving problems on par with primates. And, you know, there was Betty the crow, the New Caledonian crow, who bent a piece of wire to fashion a little hook that could pull up a bucket of food from a plastic tube. You know, she made a tool. And then there was Alex, the African gray parrot, who learned this vocabulary of hundreds of words for different objects and also mathematical concepts, and was able to use numbers. So that was really just the beginning of it. But I got very interested in, you know, well, what's going on here? What's been learned about the bird brain? And what might it have to tell us about bird behavior?
Well, you mentioned something that I hear so often, and I think you're cognizant of too, is that is, you said your father loved the bird watch, and so you became interested with your parents. And one of the things that we spend a lot of time talking about on the Great Outdoors Show and across the country is this issue of kids don't get outside, they don't have mentors, and if you don't start young having an interest in something, it tends to be harder as you go on in life. And certainly we found out with the outdoors that introducing kids to the outdoors, whether it's fishing, bird watching, hunting, whatever it might be, at a formative age greatly enhances the likelihood that they're going to care about the outdoors. So I guess it's the question I would sort of ask you is, if you hadn't been introduced to the outdoors at such an early age, do you think your career path would have been quite different?
Oh, I'm sure it would have been different. I've been writing about birds for close to 30 years. And so my father's introduction definitely shaped my interest. And you know, he learned about bird identification and bird calls from a mentor that he had when he was in Boy Scout camp. It was a a man named Atala, who was very good. He's a Greek man, very good at listening to bird calls. And my father, who was, you know, all of 12 or 13, studied with him as a Boy Scout. And so, you know, there's been this legacy down the line. And I have done what I could to teach my own girls about birds and bird awareness.
So have you traveled much of the world looking at birds? Are you primarily North American based?
Well, for this book, I traveled a great deal. I went to Barbados, where one of the scientists who is instrumental in devising the first sort of scale of intelligence for birds, he has a laboratory there. And I went to New Caledonia to see the New Caledonian crow, which is arguably the smartest bird on the planet. And a number of other places, and I talk to scientists all over the world. So the book is very global. It deals with birds in Japan and Spain and South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, all over the map.
So the genius of birds is not, and by the way, we're visiting with Jennifer Ackerman, who has just published in the last few days, The Genius of Birds. The Genius of Birds is not your first book, though, right, Jennifer? You actually are quite an acclaimed writer.
Right. This is my seventh book. So I've written about, everything from the natural life of the mid-Atlantic coast. That was my first book, Notes from the Shore. And I wrote a book about the human body called Sex, Sleep, Eat, Drink, Dream. And a book about the genes that we share with other creatures, other organisms on the planet, called Chance in the House of Fate, A Natural History of Heredity.
So that's actually, so unlike so many people in your field, you've covered quite a spectrum as opposed to just focusing in this case on birds. So I guess that I know some of our listeners would want to know, is this a book that someone who's just interested in reading about birds would enjoy, or is this a highly technical book that really is for the scientific community?
Oh, no, it's very much for everybody out there. It's for people who are bird watchers. It's for people who are interested in animal behavior. It's for people who, you know, put out bird feeders and enjoy watching the birds come to them. They'll learn something about bird behavior at their own backyards. It's very accessible, very funny, chatty, I talk a little bit about my travels, and there is, you know, science in it, but I hope that it's conveyed in a very accessible way.
And we'll certainly come back to this again, but where right now, if you wanted to purchase a copy of The Genius of Birds, where would you go, Jennifer?
Well, it's available everywhere. Independent bookstores have it in stock. It's available online at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. So pretty much, wherever people buy books, it should be available.
Great. Well, before we go to the break, which we'll do in a couple minutes, as you were preparing this book, The Genius of Birds, what was your biggest challenge? How did you begin to come up with the theme of the book?
Well, there were a couple of challenges. One of them was I wanted to feature a bird for each chapter, so I picked species with kind of spectacular abilities, technical, vocal, spatial, artistic, and I wanted a good mix of stories, and I wanted to mix the real Einsteins of the bird world with the more common everyday species that you and I encounter in normal daily life. So there are a lot of birds out there. It was hard to narrow it down. I wanted a real balance. So I picked some of the champion brainy birds, the crows and parrots, but also chickadees, jays, pigeons, sparrows, which are very intelligent in their own right. And ultimately, I picked these species because they have great stories to tell.
Well, in your book, Jennifer, I can tell you, it tells the stories very, very well. And for those of you listening, we'll be back in just a moment, but it's a book you're going to enjoy reading, and I think it's also a book which has us think much about our own brains, Jennifer, and how we think about things. And, you know, you talk about the Clark's Nutcracker, which can hide 30,000 seeds and dozens of square miles and can remember basically where all of them are months later. I can't put my car keys down. And 5 minutes later, remember where they were, much less 30,000 sets of car keys. It does really open up your mind.
It certainly does. I have the same experience and the same response to that bird's memory. It's sobering.
Well, what I will say is, see, I'm not trying to eat my car keys, so therefore they aren't quite as important as maybe seeds to a bird. But we're going to be back in just a moment with much more with Jennifer Ackerman, who has written an absolutely wonderful book, The Genius of Birds. You're listening to Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Winter is here, and it's always tough on the road. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And nothing is tougher than the 2016 Chevy Silverado. Silverado is the longest-lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With all-steel construction, Silverado is built to tame Chicago's winter weather. And Silverado's towing package offers 11,400 pounds of towing capacity. Perfect for hauling your snowmobiles. I love pulling my neighbors out of their snowdrifts. And right now, you can get $7,250 total savings on a 2016 Chevy Silverado All-Star. $7,250. That really warms my heart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and get all the details. Or head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and pick up a pickup that works as hard as you do, on the road or off. Chevy Silverado is one tough customer.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host, and we are visiting with Jennifer Ackerman, who has written The Genius of Birds, just an absolutely wonderful read about bird behavior and their IQs, which after I've read it, Jennifer, I don't want to match my IQ against some of those birds. It's pretty incredible what some birds can do. And before the break, we talked about what the Clark's Nutcracker can do in hiding 30,000 seeds and finding them. As you traveled around the world, what have been some of your more interesting experiences with birds or some of the things that really struck you that led you to writing this book?
So, yes, one of the things, there are many, many stories here, but one of the experiences I loved was in Barbados. The scientist working there was looking at the Barbados bullfinch, which is a very bold, very smart little bird. And he was comparing that bird with a bird called the grassquit, which is almost identical in every way, 99% genetically the same, but a very timid, shy, dull bird that does kind of one thing alone, which is to peck at seeds. So this scientist was looking at some of the behavior of the bullfinch, the very bright bird, and comparing it to the grassquit. And I loved watching this Barbados bullfinch go at these tasks. He was really incredible, and there were several of them, but they could take caps off of things and pull lids off of sugar bowls and tear into sugar packets. They were just so innovative in their behavior to get at food. So that was really a fun thing to watch. And they were timing them, how quickly they could solve these. The scientists were timing how quickly they could solve these problems. And there was great individual variability with these bullfinches. So not all bullfinches are alike. You know, not all birds are the same. They have personalities. They have individuality. So that was a real revelation for me. And I think my favorite encounter was with the New Caledonian crows in the wild and in the research aviary on the island of New Caledonia. You know, I'd read so much about this bird, its tool making and problem solving abilities. And I got to see it on a roadway. There was a little pullover where a scientist took me, and we heard some crows sort of scratching around in the rainforest below us. And we looked down, and there was this kind of garbage heap there. And these crows were messing around in the garbage. And I thought, well, we're not going to see much here. But then behind us, I began to hear this whack, whack, whack of nuts dropping on the pavement. And it was a New Caledonian, a whole family of New Caledonian crows dropping nuts from the trees. And what they did is they picked up the nuts and they took them to a barrier on the side of the road, and they put them in the little both holes of the barrier, and they held, which held the nut for them. And basically, it was using it as an anvil so they could open the nut. And it was just, it was so exciting to see this this bird doing its thing. And I saw a bird in the aviary there actually make a little hook tool to get it a piece of meat in a plastic tube. So that was that was really thrilling.
So they, I mean, we often, we're visiting, by the way, with Jennifer Ackerman, who's written The Genius Bird, just published and released. Jennifer, I've always been intrigued by homing pigeons. And, I mean, even, I had a story a couple weeks ago on the show about, for 6 years running, there have been a pair of robins that have come to the exact same place in our yard outside of Chicago here. And the male robin sits on the side window of my car, the rear view window looking out, and spends the early morning there and, of course, making a great mess. But that bird has come back for 6 years running. Mm-hmm. In your experiences with birds, is that an anomaly, or is their homing instincts, are they just something that is very, very acute to their survival?
I think it's the latter. I think it's a very common thing, and my first exposure to it was with the ospreys. Who lived on the Delaware shore where I lived. And they returned, you know, to the same nesting platform in the same little stretch of marsh every year faithfully. And it always amazed me that, you know, out of this, they go all the way down to the Amazon to overwinter. And then, you know, each spring, even if it's their first year, they come back to their natal ground and nest there. I think it's a really remarkable phenomenon. And the whole issue of how birds find their way, I think, is one of the great geniuses of the bird mind.
And I wonder if there isn't something for us to learn from them, given now you think about all the devices we have that tell us how to find things. We don't even have to think anymore about how to get somewhere. You just push a button.
That's right. Ask, and just going to say, these birds are integrating so many different kinds of information. They're integrating magnetic data. They're integrating sunlight, stars, sometimes even smells and sounds. And all of that is going into their brains and sending them to the right place. And we're still sorting out how just exactly how that works.
So what would you hope that the individuals who are reading your book, The Genius of Birds, what would you hope the takeaway is?
Well, I guess I hope that readers will come to see the birds around them, you know, mockingbirds, crows, sparrows, parrots, whatever's around them, a little bit differently, you know, as the really clever, innovative, creative creatures that they are. And I also hope that readers will question what intelligence is, you know, how it came about and how there might be different kinds of intelligence in the natural world that's beyond our understanding and that they're working to understand.
So there's a lot to be learned from watching birds other than just the beauty, I guess, of it. I love to bird watch, particularly waterfowl and wetland birds. And I guess after having looked at your book, I must say I view them in a different light than I ever did before.
That's great. Good to hear.
So, Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us. Your book, The Genius of Birds by Jennifer Ackerman, is available widely. I think you all will enjoy it. It certainly it opens your eyes to something. When you look at the size of a bird brain, as you say, Jennifer, there's more in it than just a little bird brain. So thanks very much for being with us, and we wish you all the success and hope that we'll have a chance in the future to be back.
Thank you very much. It was a great pleasure to be here.
You've been listening to The Great Outdoors Show. I'm Charlie Potter here, the host of the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.